Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
So today, we actually have a guest speaker. Miss Leah Carl's going to come and speak. And I'm going to say this before she comes. The Bible says this, Jesus talking in John 16:33, he said this. He said, basically, in this life, you'll have trouble. But he said that he basically overcame this world so that we could have peace. And so what she's going to talk about today, I believe, is a message that every single person this can relate to, because we all understand trouble. We all understand crisis. We all understand that there's things in life that aren't easy to walk through. And I just want you to know, before she gets started, like, I so appreciate her heart of vulnerability and honesty today, because there's this lie sometimes that says that we can't share things. In other words, if you're spiritual, you can't share things. If you're spiritual, you can't go through things. And that's a lie from the pit of hell, right? Life is life. And so I believe that, where Jesus said you're going to have trouble, that means that either you're coming out of trouble or you're about to go into trouble. Right? And so that's just kind of the way life goes. And how many of you guys know that you either succeed in that trouble or fail in that trouble based on if you know how to cling to the one that can get you through that trouble? Amen. And so today she's going to give you some tools on how to get through that trouble, because you're going to have it. So if y'all can, just get hungry today. Open up your hearts, man. She's going to give you loads of word. And so jot down what you can so you can read it later. Amen. 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 Y'all hungry? Yes. Amen.
All right. Let's get right into it. I'm going to talk today about endurance. And I'm going to start off with a happening that happened in our home a few weeks ago. We finally moved into our portion of the barn dominium that we're building. And so that is exciting, because it's been a long journey of living in a one-room place and then in a bedroom of our son's house. And so we haven't had our own space for quite some time. And so a few weeks ago, we finally moved in. And when we did, we realized that it's a little bit smaller than the other house that we had sold. So we downsized, which is a good thing. But in our room, we realized that we didn't have any nightstands that really would work anymore and fit. So we ordered some nightstands. And so they came in. But when you move in, when you build, my journey is you're never done. It's never moved in when it's fully done. There's always something else that you got to finish. So when we moved in, we continued to work through the night, you know, and every spare moment of doing the few little things. And so it was later at night. Probably should not have decided to put nightstands together later at night. But I have to get things done. And so my husband knows me. And so sometimes he won't comply, but this time he did. And so we picked up the nightstands, put them on the bed, one on each side, and put the instructions in the middle. And they're pretty heavy duty. And so we get them out and everything, all the pieces out. He lays it all out and everything. And in my head, I think, competition time. I'm going to get mine done first. Why I thought that with my husband, who's a builder, I don't know. Because I do things like that. I mean, I definitely am more bent that way than cooking or sewing. I'm not your typical homemaker. I pretty much failed home ec. But I passed my woodworking and all that stuff. And so I thought, okay, this is competition. And I'm gonna get my nightstand done first. So we laid them all out and everything. And so we're working. And halfway into it, I'm trying to read the instructions that are half upside down. I'm looking over at what he's doing and seeing how do you do this one? And a little more complicated than I thought. And so I get really tired. Like, it's late at night. I'm already frustrated. I'm sighing really heavily so that everybody in the room, which is me and him, knows that I'm frustrated. So I'm just, you know, trying to turn the screws, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so weak. Like, why am I so weak? I don't have any strength. And I think I said out loud, like, why don't I have any strength? Like, look at you. You're just, like, moving it around. Why can't I do that? So anyway, I start trying to screw it in again. He comes over sometimes and does it for me. And then he's like, what are you using? So here's the screwdriver I was using. Okay, so No joke. That's been my screwdriver for years that I've had in my house. The tip of it is bent a little, so it's not really mine, because we had to throw mine away after this was done. But the tip is bent. So it works in most cases, and it was working here, but I had to go like this a lot. And then here's his that he's used, Cobalt. The tip of it, the thing comes out, the little tips come out, and you could put whatever, Phillips head, flathead, whatever you need to work in there, and it's heavy duty. And so he handed it to me, and I was like, whoa, wow, this is easy. I can do this. In my head, I can win, because I don't tell him that I'm competing. He doesn't care if he competes ever, and that's why he wins a lot of time, because he doesn't care. And so I was like, wow. And all of a sudden it hit me. It was like, I do have strength. I have strength. I'm just not using the right tool. I do have this strength. And if I get the right tool in my hand, then I will be able to do it. It's not that I'm weak. I'm not. And so when we have the wrong tools, we can't endure, because we're using them in our own strength, and we're not utilizing the tool that we are supposed to be using, that is designed for the job that's before us. And when we use the wrong tool, we won't last, and we won't be able to complete the task. And while we were doing that, that like hit me, and I was like, whoa, I need to remember that, because that is a truth. That it's not that we don't have the strength as people of God. We do. But many times we're using our own strength, picked up the wrong tool, trying to do it in our own way, trying to make it, figure it out, trying to make it work the way that we want it to work. And then we get really tired out until somebody says, hey, use this one. Of course, my husband did finish his nightstand first, and he did come over, and that's okay for now. But there'll be more. I did put hooks in while he was gone this weekend by myself, using that screwdriver. He's like, how'd you do that? And I was like, well, I used a screwdriver. He's like, why didn't you use a drill? I'm like, well, first of all the batteries were dead. It's like, I did it. Look, and it was easy. Anyway, okay. So, endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. Many times in our life, the journey that we're on, there are things that we face that are prolonged and stressful. But endurance, one of the tools, is the ability to sustain this prolonged, stressful effort or activity. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. This is God speaking. Do not throw this away, this confidence that you have. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Colossians 1, 11 and 12. So we pray that you will have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. He has things bright and beautiful for us. So we stick it out in his strength, not our own. Back in September or October, God had given me some things in my heart one day. And so I grabbed a pen and paper and I started writing them down. And I felt like he was communicating some things to me about endurance, especially when things would look bleak. So I just quickly began to write that down. And on the side of it, I wrote sermon, because sometimes I'll just have stuff drop in my heart and I'll write it down in my own journal because it's just for me. And sometimes I feel like, oh, this might be something that would be shared one day. So I just write sermon on it so I can just kind of keep it in the back of my head. And so I wrote it down. I was like, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for endurance. Thank you for, you know, putting this in me. Thank you for what you're sharing with me. And I tucked it away in my Bible, thinking maybe one day I would share it. And periodically I would pull it out and read it and look at it as a reminder of him. But little did I know the things that would come the next few months, all the way up to now. So for the past 5-6 months, little did I know the things of stress, the anxiety, the things that would test my endurance to the limit and beyond, that I didn't fully stand in all the time, that sometimes I failed the test, I felt like, according to me. Little did I know the grief and the sorrow that I would face with the death of loved ones, with the death of some friends. Little did I know the heavy and dark emotional state that I would find myself in, sickness that would hit that just seemed to be like, what? The spiritual attacks on my mind, the spiritual attacks in our marriage. One particular time was very, very rough, and our family. And so I didn't realize what was coming when I got those wonderful notes about endurance when things are bleak. And throughout that time, it wasn't like this whole 5-6 months of being under this whatever. It would come and go, ebb and flow, and things would come, and then you'd feel like, yes, and then it would just, like, poof, hit you again. Another death, another something, another stress, another exhaustion. And so throughout this time, I would pray, and to be honest, sometimes I would not pray. Sometimes when I prayed, that it would consist of me just sitting in my chair, just sitting in silence. There was no words, there was nothing, sometimes tears. Sometimes I would sit in my chair and it would just be total numbness, like I felt nothing, like a robot, like I don't know what's going on here. And so I'd sit there like that. There were times when I would open my Bible and I would have the scripture light my way. And there were some days, just being really real, that I didn't pick my Bible up. I know I have the Word of God hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against Him. But I just couldn't pick up His Word and open it. And for whatever reasons, disappointment, weariness, exhaustion, why do I pray like I do? Because I keep declaring this Word. I keep praying this. And I'm not sure how it's not lining up with what I think you're supposed to be doing. There were times that I pray with this group of women every week. We meet together. It's a very sacred time for me. We've been doing it for a long time. And if it had not been for this group of women that I pray with, I don't know how I would have made it through some of those times. Because each one of us go through stuff. And I cannot stress the importance to tell you to have people in your life that you can share all of who you are with, to sit with, to pray with, to talk with. Whether it's your own family, which is a very good thing, you should do that, or friends around, it's invaluable. It's just like we heard last week, Moses and Aaron and Hur came on either side and held up his arms when this strong man of God could not do it anymore. It's intercession. It's stepping in. It's who we are. So I cannot express or say enough the value of having those people in your life, especially in the day and time we live in, to have trusted people. And so it was very important. And so those women, we walked through lots of things together, not just me, but them in certain times. And they one time put me in the middle, in the chair, and began to speak into my life the truth of the Word of God. So last week, I was finding myself in another one of those spots, yet again, facing the loss of a good friend of ours that we had stood in the gap for, and just, you know, she shall live and not die. And she died. And so I was like, what? Like, why do I pray this scripture? Why do I even do this? I felt my faith waning, felt my exhaustion. And then there was another instance that I was praying for, and I was like, everything about it just seemed to be going the opposite way. And I was like, what? You know, and this is life. And you would think by now that I would say, I get it. But sometimes in the middle of that, in our own strength, we get exhausted. And sometimes all we need is a good night's sleep, to be honest. practically reality. We just need to sleep. We need rest. We need to eat right. We need to have things so that our body is even lined up healthy. So I was in this spot last week and feeling my faith fully waning, like just ebbing out and wondering, why am I doing this? Why do I speak the word like I do? And disappointed. And it's just like this huge wave of it just hit. You know, I hate being in the ocean. Just, you know, I love being by the ocean, but I hate being in the ocean. And so because those waves, I've had them knock me over, and it just felt like this huge wave just came. And I was like, whoa, I can't even get up underneath the water from this one. I don't know what's going on. And I heard God say, pull out your endurance notes that I gave you a while back. Pull them out. So I was on the plane. I was headed to North Carolina. Our son is moving. And so I was helping him pack. And so when I got to his house, I pulled out my notes. And it was just reminding me of who God is and his goodness and what he does and who he is. And then he said, it's now time to share this. I want you to share with people. And first I was like, what? Like, I'm not sure that I even have it to share this. And the part of that is to understand that we don't have to have it all together to be the one to share what God has given, to be the one to pray, to be the one to intercede. So God said, share my hope and my word and my promises with them. Let them know how to stand strong no matter what they face, that I am with them. I have not left them or abandoned or rejected, and I never will. They can trust me always. They can lean on me. The foundation I give them is a sure and firm foundation because it's me. But I can't make them stand firm and endure. That's their responsibility and their choice to do so. So give them the tools to do so, that it will not be in their own strength. Pray, trust, worship, abide in him, him in you. Pray, trust, worship, get in his word. So that's what I'm going to give you today, is what I believe God wants you to hear from his heart through me. So the things I'd written down was Daniel in the den of lions. The dismal word was given, and it was impossible to be stopped. It could not be reversed. Daniel was still thrown in the den of lions. Daniel 6, 6 through 10. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. First of all, it's kind of weird that they said, sign this law for 30 days only. The king should have said, what? Why only for 30 days? But he did this because they were trying to trap Daniel. It seemed bleak. It seemed dismal and impossible. So let's go to verse 15 through 17, we'll read too. Then these same men came thronging by agreement to the king and said, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed or repealed. Remember, you did this. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions, because he knew that Daniel was the one, and he loved Daniel, and he was trying his best to get away from it. But they were like, oh, remember what you write? It can't be reversed. May your God, Daniel, whom you are serving continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that there might be no change of purpose concerning Daniel. Many times that's what it feels like when the enemy comes at you, at us, that there's no change of purpose. It's set. This is it. It's done. Why are you believing for anything else? And then verses 25 through 28 shows the outcome. King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, I make a decree that in my royal dominion, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring and steadfast forever. And his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He is a savior and deliverer. He works signs and wonders in the heavens on the earth. He made a decree that seemed in the middle of what was dismal and unreversible, God still did his work. He is still at work. We do not need to lose hope and lose heart. We say, God, you are still at work. The next one is Esther and the Jews. The dismal word was given, and it was impossible to be stopped, couldn't be reversed. They still had to fight. So let's look at Esther 8:8. Now go ahead and send a message to the Jews in the king's name, telling them whatever you want, and seal it with the king's signet ring. But remember that whatever has already been written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can never be revoked. So what he had done is he had signed the thing. All the Jews are going to be killed this particular day. That plan was exposed, but that law could not be reversed. Haman was dead. He couldn't be the perpetrator anymore because he was gone, but this law was still in effect. So he gave his king to Mordecai and said, now you write a new decree. And he did, and it said, now all of you Jews, pick up your swords, fight for your families, fight for your lives. You have the authority now with the king to fight on this day. So what looked dismal and like they were done and it was over and they were going to be dead, God was at work and said, I'm going to put something else in here. And they still had to fight though. And then the three Hebrew boys and the fiery furnace. The dismal word was given, and it was impossible to be stopped. It couldn't be reversed. They were still thrown into the fiery furnace. And I kept writing the word dismal during this, and I'm like, I don't even use that word. Like, why am I saying dismal? Dismal means very gloomy and depressing, sad, and without hope, with hopelessness. And so that's how we can get into sometimes and feel that very gloomy and depressed and sad and without hope. These dismal words were given. You're going to be thrown into lions. You're going to be thrown into a fire. You're going to die this day. We can't give up when the enemy brings a dismal, dark, gloomy, depressing word that says, it's done and over. We cannot give up. We endure, and we take the strength, we take the prayer, the trust, the rest in his presence, and we use that as our tool. Instead of us trying to figure out how we can work around all this or just giving up. So Daniel 3:4-6, then a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. And then when you look over in Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. O Nebuchadnezzar, this is when he came to them, and he said, hey, notice you didn't bow down. But I'm going to give you a second chance. So I want you to bow down this time. They said, it's not necessary for us to answer you on this point. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. And so they threw them in. And then the king saw four people in the fire, and they'd only thrown three in. The Son of God, likened to the Son of God, had come into the fire, walked with them, and so they called them out. And then when you look at verses 27 through 29, and the satraps, the deputies, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered around together, saw these men. The fire had no power on their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their garments scorched or changed in color or condition. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who believed in, trusted in and relied on him, and they set aside the king's command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, and language that speaks against this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, for there's no other God who can deliver in this way. So what looked like it was impossible, and they were told, you've got to do this. You've got to worship this. Culture today might tell us. There's lots of things that can bring fear into our hearts and minds today. Lots of things. But we have to understand there's only one God whom we will trust and serve and worship. The word for trust in verse 28 of that is R-A-C-H-A-T-S. I'm not sure how to say that, Aramaic. It means to bathe, to wash. So in essence, he's saying you trusted in, you bathed in, you have bathed yourself in the presence of God, and that's what this word is signifying, bathed in the presence of God, washed in the water of the word, so that no matter what they faced, they came through. No matter what you face, you will come through. When you bathe yourself, wash in the water of the word, bathe yourself in his presence, cover yourself, that no fire can take you and burn you. You will walk through. And then there's Lazarus, the man who died. The word was relayed of his death. His sisters were like, Jesus, you knew he was dying. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you do this? Because if you would have come, this would have happened. And so it was dismal. It was impossible. And it couldn't be reversed. Lazarus died. So what's going to happen? But God, as they trusted, as they prayed, as they fasted, as they worshiped, even as they lay there dead. Sometimes we feel like we're just laying there dead. That's how I felt sometimes. Like, I don't have any more feelings. I don't want to have any more feelings. I don't want to put my trust out there. I don't want to put my faith out there because it's going to get knocked down again. So I don't want to do this. But God showed up and delivered and was faithful to his promises and was glorified. And God calls us into strength with him. When things look dismal and impossible, they are not. We've got to remember, when things look dismal and impossible, they are not dismal and impossible. Our God is the one who delivered then. He'll deliver now. This isn't just in the Bible. There are real-time things that happen with all of you. I'm sure have moments when you knew that things were dismal, things were bad. They may not have been you going into an actual furnace, but you definitely felt like there was fire on you and there was going to be nothing left. And that God has brought you out. And God has done. And God has healed. And God has delivered. And God has saved. When I was a young girl, I was hit in the eye with a shingle. They were throwing them as frisbees. I was 7 or 8, hit in the eye, right in the eyeball, cut my eyeball. So I had to be taken to the emergency room. It was horrendous. Basically, I remember they had to hold me down. It was such pain, the bright light. And the doctor said, she's going to lose her eye and she's going to be blind for the rest of her life. We have to do surgery now to fix what we can salvage of this. And so my dad was a youth pastor. So my dad said, okay, we'll do that, but we're going to take her home tonight. We have youth group, and we're praying over her. So against the doctor's wishes, they had to sign a paper to say we're doing this against the doctor's wishes. They took me home, laid me down. I had an eye patch on. My dad went to youth group. They had these prayer cloths that they used to do back then, and they would anoint with oil. And the young people that night prayed over me for healing. And so I do remember going to sleep that night. I remember my mom said that dad came home with the prayer cloth to lay on me. And she said, you can lay it on her, but she's already healed. God came in the room. And so the next day I got up. We went to the hospital, Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. And the doctor was astounded. No one had to restrain me. The light was shining directly, no pain. I was 100% completely healed, 20/20 vision in both eyes. Nothing was there. And so what was dismal, what was not to be reversed, when they prayed, when they endured, when they began to speak, okay, this is what it looks like, but this is who God is. That's one of many things that has happened in our lives. And then together as a family, when we would come together and pray together and say, God, we don't know how, but you do. This looks really dismal. So we are to remember his promises and choose to believe and endure. A tool to standing strong in the face of the impossible is found in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. So trust this God who loves you. He loves you. He has called you. You are his. Understand who you are in that authority, no matter how you're feeling about it and where you are in the mix of it. We endure as we have relationship with him, and we talk with him in the midst of our exhaustion and our sorrow and our numbness and our good times. It's not just for the bad times. When we just are always with him in prayer and worship and trust, we are not to lose heart. We are not to grow weary, it says in Galatians 6. We are to be clothed with strength, Proverbs 31. We are to not let our heart be troubled, John 16. We are to take heart to gain courage and confidence. Satan is such a liar, and he hates you. He does not care one bit about your life. And so he will take whatever it is to deceitfully move in any moment to make it appear that God is not good, that he's not real, that he's not faithful. But we sang it this morning. We know him too well to know that all our life he has been faithful. All our life, he has been good. And he will do his best to steal away your faith in the promises of God. But we are to resist the devil, and he will flee, the word says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We take his word. Psalm 1 says, because you delight in the law of the Lord, his word, and you meditate on his words day and night, you are like a tree firmly planted by the water, ready to bring forth fruit in season, and your leaf will not wither or fade, and everything you do shall prosper. That's you. We are trees of righteousness, firmly planted, trusting in, bathing in the presence of the Lord, in who he is. And on that days when it feels like the wave has overtaken, or a hammer has just knocked you down, as a friend told me today, you feel like that's there. On those days, you still say, but I trust in you. But you are good. I'm going to read to you one of the things that one of the ladies in my group sent me this morning. It was part of her devotion. It says, there will be moments when we feel the weight of the promises God has placed inside of us, but we see nothing. We experience only a long journey and a dusty, stinky stable, as Mary did when she was carrying the promise, Jesus. Maybe no one is cheering us on or affirming our faith. We may even feel embarrassed in the presence of others. When I was praying for blind person after blind person with not one person healed, I could have looked at my circumstances and felt ashamed or confused, especially in front of my friends. I could have given up hope and stopped praying, but I would have missed the breakthrough. So, like the Hebrew boys, God will deliver us, but if not, we're still not worshiping your statue. We're worshiping him, and he will deliver us. Either way, we are delivered. We set our eyes on him, not on what we want to happen or how we want the deliverance to be or the outcome that we're looking for. We set our eyes on him. Our part is purposed on him, and we grab a hold of that. And we don't let go, that tenacious faith that grabs a hold of our faith and hope in him, not in the outcome that we want, not in the thing that we want to happen and how we want it to happen. We trust in him. James 5:16, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. You are something powerful to be reckoned with. We are something powerful to be reckoned with. No matter how you're feeling in those moments, we will trust no matter what's dismal and bleak and not seeming to be possible. We will trust in God. We will understand who we are. We are trees of righteousness. You are an intercessor, and we've been preaching about prayer. When I say we, I mean PQ, have been preaching about prayer in the last few weeks, but we've been talking about it. We've been doing it. Step into that role. It's so important right now in the world and the day and age we live in to know that you know, to step into prayer, to be that intercessor, which the definition given last week was someone who stands between heaven and earth to ask God for a breakthrough on behalf of another. Be that intercessor. Pray for one another. Pray together with your family. Pray together. Find the community that you're praying with. Ask God to show you how. If you feel like you're picking up the weight of everything and that you're carrying things you're not supposed to, trying to control the outcomes, then take these scriptures. You can write these scriptures down. Galatians 5:22 says, it's his presence within that accomplishes the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's not me. Pick up the right tool. Don't use that little Duracell screwdriver. Pick up the right one, and it's his presence in me. Ephesians 3:20, he can do abundantly above all that we could ask or think through him who loves us. Philippians 2:13, that he is in me. It's him in me who is accomplishing. If you feel like you have no strength left, pick up these verses. Psalm 84, going from strength to strength. Ephesians 6:10, being empowered by your union with him. Psalm 68:28 says that he will command your strength. There's many places in Psalms that talks about he'll gird us with strength. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Psalm 73:26 says that when my heart and my flesh fail. You know, the few verses above that, it says my heart was sad with sorrow and it was embittered. Many times during these places, offense can easily come. Recognizing when you got offended, releasing that offense in the middle of that. And so above that it says, but who else am I going to walk with? You're the one who continually holds my hand. And so when my flesh and my heart fail, you are the portion of my life. You are my strength. You are my firm foundation. If you feel exposed to the enemy and that you are an open target, which I did feel that at one particular spot, it was like January, I think, that was one of the most awful times during this. And I knew when it happened, I was like, this is demonically inspired. And it was one of our fights. We haven't really, the older you get, the less you fight. So we haven't really had fights like that. That was horrible, horrible. And I felt this evilness. And I was like, I don't even act like that. What just happened? And it was an attack of the enemy that came, hit our family. So we felt like we were an open target. And many times we feel these things come because we're weak. Let me tell you something. It's not because you're weak. It's because you're strong. And the enemy is saying, I'm coming at you with all that I have. So know that you're not weak. You are strong. And it's through him that we are strong. So if you feel exposed to the enemy and that you are an open target, Psalm 91. Psalm 27, Psalm 90, verses 16 and 17. And then you take 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, and you pull down the strongholds and those things that have tried to wrap themselves around you. And you put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, and you begin to pray. You begin to understand that no matter what I've gone through, no matter what has hit me, no matter what is happening, that God is a God that says, hey, it's okay. I see where you might have got it flipped upside down. Back to the nightstands. The next day, I walked in, and I looked over at my nightstand. I was like, what is that? And there's a shelf, and then a drawer. And my middle shelf, I had put in upside down. I didn't know it the night before, and so I was like, got to be kidding me. I walked over to Brian's. His was right, all great, and everything in order. And I was like, oh, first of all, I don't want to tell Brian, because I was trying to beat and trying to be better, and obviously I wasn't. And so I was like, okay, I've got to fix this. So I texted him. I'm like, what can I do? And he's like, I mean, you can take the whole thing apart. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to take this whole thing apart. Or you can put these little things over top the screws. And I was like, nope, not doing that either. So I got the right tool, and I said, I can do this. And I sat down piece by piece. I didn't have to take the whole thing apart, just the front. With the right tool, it was so easy. Flipped the shelf over, put it all back, and it's all great. And that's how God says, you may feel like things got upside down. Get the right tool. Let's do this. Let's put things back in place, back in order. This is who you are. And many times, we have to walk through that. We think that our strength and our faith is found in when we pray, the trials dissipate. Many times he's saying, actually, your greatest faith and your greatest strength is when you walk through this stuff that's coming, that you're already in. You just walk through it. That's where your strength is being built. That's where your faith is. Sometimes things do happen. We pray and they happen, but sometimes they don't. But he's at work in both of it, all of it, always at work. So I want you to go from here as the intercessors that you are, grabbing the tool of endurance and staying strong in it and not giving up. Praying, as was said last week, in the name of Jesus and his authority. Take the name of Jesus and pray in his name. Pray for his kingdom to come here right now in the middle of whatever you're in, and ask him to show you what is your will in this. Not my will. I'm not praying for something to happen. I'm praying with my hope and my faith in you. My faith isn't in the thing that needs to happen. My faith is in you. So what is your will in all of this that's happening? And what I'm hearing from the news, or hearing in our state, or hearing in my own home or internally, what is your will? What are you saying? What are you doing? How do I step into that? How do I pray? And go from here and do it. Don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. Just because the 21-day thing ended doesn't mean that God isn't calling us into, as people, into being and coming more and more like him. Colossians 2, that I just read. Being in union with him and in conformity to him and being established in the faith. That's who you are. And so you go from here today. Get together with your family. Get together with friends. Ask God to show you who. And begin to say, we are establishing some things here. And we are going to go forward with it. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for taking your word and sealing it in our hearts. That no matter what it comes before us, no matter what we're in now, that we know and understand the strength that we have in you and through you, that you are our God. There is no other. You are the one who saves and delivers and heals and rescues, and you will continue to do so. And we will stand strong in that and stand strong in you, that we look to you, not for the thing to happen, but we look to you. I thank you, God, for these people, for the strength that you have placed in them, for the men and women of God that they are, the authority that they have, and that they will walk from here in that authority and intercede in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week, and God bless.